Revolting People by Andy Hamilton and Jay Tarsis. With Jay Tarsis, Jan Ravens, James Fleet, Hugh Dennis, Penelope Nice, Tony Morsley, Susie Blake, Selena Griffiths, and Andy Hamilton.
£29, 12 shillings, 11 pence, plus £13, 4 shillings and 4 pence. Hey, Nita, comes to...
Burn the rebels, pillage, plunder, and loot and pillage.
Oh, that comes to...
Whip out your dingle stick and...
McGurk!
What?
British authorities require me to billet you in my home, but that doesn't mean I have to listen to songs about your...
Dingle stick, sir?
Yeah, exactly. Especially when I'm trying to add £29, 12 shillings and 11 pence to £13, 4 shillings and 4 pence halfpenny.
That's £42, 17 shillings and threepence halfpenny.
How do you do that drunk?
You noticed my state of inebriosity, did you? Yeah, sorry about that. But I've been down the tavern celebrating the fact that it's Tuesday.
So nice when these special occasions come around, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Just think it's Wednesday tomorrow, that festive anniversary of the middle of the week.
I know. Creeps up on you, doesn't it? Yeah. Then before you know it, it's Thursday, the traditional day of thirst. What's that you're scribbling?
Just back off a little. Those brandy fumes are making me woozy. I'm trying to tote up the shop's accounts.
Well, I've done that for you. £42, 7 shillings and threepence halfpenny. A healthy sum.
Not when it's in the debit column. Do you mind not breathing near that candle? The fireman might not be so quick this time.
Oh, sorry. So, why is this shop doing so badly then?
Well, various factors.
Mm-hmm.
One is that some people are, for example, eating my biscuits without paying for them.
Oh, you want to put a stop to that? Yeah. These are nice. I like the crunchy raisins in them.
They're weevils. My macaroons are riddled with them. I've relabeled them as biscuits with added meat. But they're not moving. Or rather, they are moving, which is why no one's buying. People don't like moving biscuits. Apart from you, you've just eaten the lot. That'll be 11 farthings, please.
You know your problem, Samuel. You're obsessed with money.
No, I'm obsessed with lack of money.
And you worry too much, and you've nothing to be worried about. You're about to become a grandfather. In a few days' time, your Cora's going to be sprogging a little nipper.
Yeah, I know, and that's one more worry. The child could grow up to be a bastard.
Well, who knows? I mean, yes, he might turn out to have a bit of a temper, but I mean...
Now, you know what I mean, McGurk. Her windbag of a husband, Ezekiel, is not the child's father. And if he should find out, well, he might disown her, and she'd be denounced as a harlot, and she'd be ostracized.
Ezekiel won't find out. Who'd be stupid enough to mention Cora's knocked-upness?
Joshua would. He's my son, and I love him dearly, but he's as thick as a London fog.
Ah, you'll make me homesick. I used to love it when it was foggy in London.
Really?
Yeah, it was so much easier to sneak up on people. Where is Joshua?
Well, I've sent him across to Cora with some more sacks of coal. She's eaten the last lot. I don't know what's going to happen to that boy when I'm no longer around.
Joshua will be fine. First off, he's 7 foot tall, so the circus will always have him. Mm. And second, his sisters will look out for him, won't they?
Well, Mary will probably be waging war against the entire British army. That girl's a headstrong, reckless firebrand.
Now, don't exaggerate. Yes, she may be a little willful.
Yeah.
Witness her relentless pursuit of Captain Brimshaw. Mm. Sometimes she's a little disobedient. But she's still a caring, dutiful daughter with a warm and lovely set of jugs.
Well, first of all, that's my daughter you're talking about. And you do realize, don't you, that a woman's breasts and her personality are two completely separate things?
No, I think you're wrong there. As I understand it, the latest scientific thinking is that the female soul resides in the breasts, which is presumably why the happiest women are the ones with the biggest chest furniture. It's obvious when you think about it, really.
Well, I had no idea you were such a man of science.
Oh, yeah, well, this is the age of science. Here, what do you reckon to this new electricity, then? Are you for or against?
Oh, I'm against. Oh, what if it blows up the entire world?
Oh, good point, yeah.
I mean, Benjamin Franklin deliberately flies kites to attract lightning. That's just asking for trouble. I mean, God didn't put us on this earth to flirt with thunderbolts.
Do you know, that could have been me talking. I mean, how?
Hey, don't breathe near the candle.
Sorry, forgot.
Samuel!
Ezekiel!
Come quick. Time is of the very quintessence. Mother Nature's great opera has already begun its prologue and is careering pell-mell towards its climactic denouement.
What?
Haste! Haste, Samuel! Haste is the clarion cry. Be not so tarrisome.
Be not so tarrisome?
Let's brook no delay, for delay is Beelzebub's dancing bear, and any little hindrance to our purpose must be put upon.
What the hell are you talking about?
Fulsome apologies, Samuel, but nervous excitement always causes my natural circumlocution to become even more floridly labyrinthine.
And slap him, McGurk.
Thank you.
Now, what is it?
Cora. is in labor.
Oh, all right, all right, all right. Now, the important thing is not to panic.
Of course, yes, indeed. No panic. Absolutely. For panic is the devil's tarantella.
Slap him again.
Thank you.
Now, the first question that occurs is, if my daughter's gone into labor, why aren't you with her?
Your boy, Joshua, is with her, and she dispatched me hence to fetch your good self and her sister Mary, because Mary is of the female gender and can therefore assist with the nativity, as she is fully conversant with the workings of a woman's secret parts and nethermost vestibules.
Hutchins?
I think so, yeah.
Thank you.
Okay, so we need Mary to act as midwife, right? No problem, that's easily arranged. All we have to do is find Mary. Punch him again, McGurk.
But I didn't say anything.
So?
Oh, Walter, look at the moon, the lover's lantern. It shines for us just as it shone for Romeo and Juliet. Has it ever struck you how like Romeo and Juliet we are?
Yes, indeed. You, an American rebel, me, an English captain. Two lovers from opposite sides of a bitter feud, tragically constrained by circumstance.
Conquering petty, ignorant social barriers.
Fated to be crushed by the wheel of life.
But victorious in their devoted service of love.
Doomed by the eternal cruelties of society.
Yet ecstatically triumphant in the wider sense.
We are talking about the same play, aren't we? One where they both end up dead, in coffins.
Well, that's the nurse's fault. The woman's an idiot.
I suppose, apart from the corpse element, we do resemble those star-crossed lovers.
Of course, although there is one regard in which, so far, we differ from Romeo and Juliet. Can you work out what it is?
We're not from Verona?
No.
Oh, I know. We don't have access to a balcony.
Oh, no, 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 you fool! They do it! In a night of passion, they consummate their love many times, in several bouncy ways.
I don't remember that bit.
It's implicit. We need to transcend to that sublime level, my dearest. Give me your hand. There. Oh, feel how my heart pounds beneath my breast.
Yes, well, that be that as it may, Mary, but tempted as I am, I cannot forget that carnal relations outside of marriage is against the church's teaching, and I...
Oh, damn the church, and damn marriage! Marriage is a cage. Marriage destroys true love, the true love that makes the blood race. Oh, is your blood not racing, Walter?
The speed of my blood is neither here nor there, madam. I am an officer and a gentleman. I must do what I think and feel to be right. My heart says no, my head says no.
But your trousers say yes.
My trousers are neither here nor there.
Walter!
Oh, Mary, I... Oh, what the...
Permission to apologise for making your head bleed, sir.
How many times must I tell you, Sergeant? Throwing rocks at people is not the appropriate way to get someone's attention.
Please, don't blind me with etiquette, sir. This is an emergency.
That's right.
What's the meaning of this, Father?
Well, Cora's in labor and she needs you because you're of the female gender and therefore conversant with a woman's secret vestibules and... Oh, my God, I'm doing it now. Thank you, McGurk.
My pleasure, sir.
Come on, Mary.
Hold on. There's no need to panic. Who's with Cora now?
Just Joshua.
Right. There is a need to panic.
And Ezekiel's heading back there now.
No, even worse. Let's get going.
The sergeant and I shall give you a military escort. The woods are full of our patrols of German mercenaries, and they tend to shoot first and ask questions later.
Well, strictly speaking, they shoot first and then don't bother with the questions. Apart from which ditch they should lob you into.
Come on then, Father. For time's winged chariot is hastening helter-skelter towards the natal grand finale that is... Oh!
Joshua, what's happening, son?
Cora's fine, Father. She's in the house and she's as fine as can be. I mean, every now and then she does that, but otherwise everything's fine.
Has the screaming been getting more frequent?
Only since Ezekiel went inside to comfort her.
Are you all right, son? You look scared.
Scared? Why would I be scared? When I'm out hunting in the wilderness, I wrestle grizzly bears, and most times I win.
Yes, but wrestling grizzlies is something you understand. Something only you understand. Whereas childbirth is...
I'm not scared, all right? And I do understand what's happening.
Oh!
Is she screaming like that to attract the stork, Father?
Yeah, that's right, son.
That's not strictly...
No, it's quicker this way, trust me.
Get away from me, you long-winded jackass!
The poor woman is delirious. She doesn't even recognize who I am. She's confused me with some long-winded jackass. Someone who blathers, blusters, and prattles like some verbose stiffness of Byzantium, who was renowned for not knowing when to cease his babble.
Has anybody got a mallet?
Come on, Father. Let's go inside, and you can help me deliver the baby. Father? Mary? The baby's nearly here.
It's all right, Cora. It's soon going to be over.
I'm frightened, Mary. It hurts so much. What if I die?
Oh, don't be silly. You're not going to die, is she, Father?
No. Statistics are definitely in your favor, Cora. The majority of women survive childbirth. I think it may even be as high as 55%.
Father, what if in my delirium I let slip the name of the baby's true father, Abraham Smith? What if God punishes me for my adultery and the baby is born with three heads?
Well, I don't know. We find the money for the hats somehow, I guess. Don't worry.
Could you pass me that towel, Father, so I can mop Cora's brow while you soothe her anxieties?
I keep having these visions. A little while back, I even imagined Mother was looking at me through that window. I wonder where she is now.
I don't. The day she walked out on me, I lost all interest in her. Let's hope you're a better mother than she was.
You're supposed to be comforting her. Say something encouraging.
Right. Have you redecorated in here, Cora?
Yes. The flooring is new.
Oh, yes, very nice. You can't beat flagstone, can you? Just a little bit of soap and water, you'll be able to wash the blood off in no time.
Actually, I think that's enough comforting, Father. Why don't you step outside?
Well, if you're sure.
Yes, I'm sure.
See you in a bit, Cora. Almost certainly.
Oh, get out!
Oh, hello, Samuel. So, how's it all going in there?
Oh, it's fine. You know, I've just been offering reassurance.
It's all this anticipation I can't stand. I feel like young Theseus, waiting in Minos's labyrinth, clutching Ariadne's thread, and listening for the roars of the Minotaur.
Oh, everyone feels like that.
Are you all right, Joshua? You seem to be swaying.
I'm fine, Father.
Well, we don't want you fainting and falling over. Not in the avalanche season.
Abraham! I need you, Abraham!
Now the poor child is calling on the prophets.
Yes, yes.
That's exactly what she's doing. So, what do you reckon about this electricity stuff, then?
Oh, I'm against.
Me too. I think it's changed the weather.
Yes, it's tampering with nature. These scientists are but Satan's stooges.
But wouldn't it be wonderful if man could learn to harness electricity to light and heat his world?
That is so cute. I think I'd better go and make sure McGurk hasn't been murdered by German people.
I could do that.
No, let me. You might have trouble finding McGurk.
I don't think so. I'll just follow the smell.
And his wiggly-waggly-woo was the size of Timbuktu. His wiggly-waggly-woo was... Oh, evening, Samuel. Any sprogs yet?
Not yet, Sergeant, no.
Yeah, I came up this hill to get away from all that screaming. Too much like being at work. Yeah. Fancy a swig of my brandy?
Your brandy bears an uncanny resemblance to a bottle that used to be in my shop.
Really? Perhaps they're brothers. Here, I don't suppose you could lend me a shilling.
You suppose right. What do you want it for?
Well, you see, I got chatting to this carpenter in the tavern the other night about my various physical deficiencies, and he said for a shilling he could make me a wooden ear.
A wooden ear?
Yeah, stylish, eh? Be a nice match with my wooden leg and my wooden eye.
Yeah, well, I'm still not totally convinced about the wooden eye.
Really?
Yeah, perhaps if you hadn't painted it orange.
Oh, I don't know.
Oh, holy mackerel.
Go on, girl.
Sounds like she's in so much pain.
Oh, that's just women, sir. They like to make a fuss.
Really?
Yeah, childbirth's a piece of cake, yeah. Look, imagine your right nostril.
Uh-huh.
Now imagine forcing a coconut down through it.
And that wouldn't hurt?
No, I've done it.
Why?
Well, you had to in Stepney or everyone said you were a sissy. Yeah. Now, the painful bit is getting the coconut up there in the first, man. What's happening?
There are two shadowy figures lurking behind that maple tree. They could be robbers. Stand and identify yourselves. And don't try any of your... Oh, my God.
Hello, Samuel. It's been a long time.
Elizabeth, what are you doing here?
I heard Cora was having a baby. I just wanted to be near her, see my grandchild.
So that was you at the window?
Yes, it was.
I'll just introduce myself then, shall I?
I'm sorry, Samuel. This is Agnes. She's my friend.
Hello, Agnes. This is Sergeant McGurk, and he's...
Available. That's not what I mean, girls.
McGurk, Elizabeth is my wife, in theory, so please desist from your usual salacious remarks.
Oh, of course, sir. Pardon me, ladies. I'm scum and I forget my manners, but my heart's in the right place.
And that's the only part of you that is. Why has he got so many bits missing?
You're from Scotland, aren't you? Yeah, I love Scotland. Had many happy times there.
Really? Whereabouts?
Round Culloden, mostly.
How is Cora?
She's fine.
I heard she married an idiot.
Yes, but he's not a bad idiot.
Does he love her?
After his own idiotic fashion.
And does she love him?
Well, Cora understands that you have to work in a marriage. Unlike some.
I think it's best if we leave the past where it is, don't you, Samuel?
Oh, absolutely. No point wasting time in trying to apportion blame.
Quite.
It's obvious where the fault lies, so let's just gloss over it and move on. And don't worry, I'm not so petty as to expect a full written apology or anything like that.
You don't change, Samuel. Still as self-pitying as ever.
Oh, great. So now on top of everything else, I'm self-pitying, am I? As if I haven't got enough to contend with.
How's Mary doing? I hear she turned out a lot like me.
Well, she certainly inherited your jugs, Mom.
Actually, McGurk, why don't you take a bit of a walk? Down by the stream, maybe? Perhaps just by the spot where it plummets down that ravine?
No, I'm happy here. Thank you for your concern.
Well, then, Elizabeth, perhaps we could walk off a little way and talk with some privacy.
Very well, Samuel.
We'll be back shortly, McGurk, so just behave.
Trust me. Alone at last, eh, Agnes?
Yes, be still, my beating heart. So, you were at Culloden.
First time I saw action, and may I say I was most impressed by the bravery of your little Highlanders. Yeah. Just a shame they were being led by that French-speaking poncy limp-wrist Bonnie Prince Charlie.
My father and uncles perished at Culloden. They were betrayed.
Well, I told you, Bonnie Prince Puffy Boy
no,
was...
No, not by the prince. They were sold some army surplus gunpowder by some devious little blackguard of a redcoat. Only when they came to load the muskets with the gunpowder, it turned out to be a blend of sawdust, sherbet, and dandruff.
Really?
Ever since that day, our clan has sworn revenge on that accursed redcoat.
Oh, quite, yeah, yeah. Do you by any chance know his identity?
No.
Oh, what a shame. Yeah.
The treacherous jackal used a false name, called himself Shortfellow. I do know he was a Londoner.
Oh, bloody Londoners, all crooks. I'm from Cardiff, look you boyo. Now, listen here, Agnes. Why don't you sidle over here next to me, Yaki Da, and stop fighting your womanly urges, eh?
You just don't understand, do you?
Understand what?
Well, you see, McGurk, I prefer the company of women.
So do I.
No. Physically, I prefer the company of women. And so does Elizabeth. Do you understand now? Obviously you do. You're not shocked then?
Not at all, no. Live and let live, that's my motto. Well, except in a battle, obviously. But no, it is my belief that we should all accept each other's differences.
That's a very refreshing attitude.
Well, why not? I mean, if two women who have strong feelings for each other want to experience the ultimate intimacy, then where's the harm?
That's right.
And if in private they choose to disrobe and engage in various acts of love, why shouldn't that be allowed?
Absolutely.
And if a lonely redcoat wants to watch, then that should be allowed as well.
The answer's no, McGurk.
I'd pay good money.
I said no.
It wouldn't be for my personal pleasure. It'd be to widen my education.
Once again, no.
Are you sure that you prefer the company of women? I mean, perhaps it's just that you haven't found the right man.
Do you know you're right? The scales have finally fallen from my eyes. I realize now that all these years what I've really been pining for is a one-legged, one-armed, one-eared midget with an orange eye.
Best not to fight it, girl. Yeah.
So, how long were you and Agnes thinking of hanging around? Not very long, presumably.
Not that long, no.
And this Agnes, she's your special friend, is she?
My special friend?
Yeah, you know, your nighttime friend.
Yes, yes, she is.
But she's not the nighttime friend you left me for 18 years ago, is she?
No.
So what happened to her?
She left me for someone else.
I see. Well, an embittered man might say, serves you right now, you know what it feels like, you cow, but... Fortunately, I'm much bigger than that.
Listen, I'm not proud walking out on the children, but the truth is some women are not made to be wives and mothers. And if only I hadn't conceived on those three nights when you caught me off guard when I was trying to read, and if only you hadn't been as fertile as Mesopotamia, then we would never have ended up in such a pitiful mess.
Mesopotamia, huh?
Oh, dear, I remember that. Joshua was the worst.
Yeah.
Such a gigantic baby. Poor Joshua. I never cuddled him as much as I should have.
No, no one cuddled him. Only the blacksmith could lift him.
Does he ever ask about his mother?
We try to steer clear of you as a topic. Tends to make him a bit emotional. Next thing you know, he's out in the forest uprooting pine trees.
Oh, I see.
Well, I'd best be getting back to Cora, I suppose. Do you and Agnes have far to go?
We live about 40 miles upriver, deep in the woods. As far as the locals are concerned, we're a pair of reclusive sisters who hold hands a lot.
I see.
And what about you? Have you got anyone?
Well, I'm certainly not lonely in the nighttime area, if that's what you're implying.
No.
Now, there have been women. Lots of women. 312 women. Approximately. And no men, by the way.
Right. Well, I'm very pleased for you.
Thank you. Now, I'm sorry, but I really must be getting back.
Look, Samuel, please. I just want to ask you...
Yeah, McGurk, come on. It's time for us to get back.
Oh, must we? Me and Agnes are getting on like a croft on fire. Repeat what you just told me. Go on.
I said that you are undoubtedly the most repulsive, depraved human being I'd ever encountered, and that just being near you makes me want to heave my guts up.
What a little tease, eh?
Why have you got your shirt off?
He wanted to show me his tattoo.
Oh, yes, Nell Gwyn and the dwarves.
It's obscene!
No, it only turns obscene when I flex my...
Hey, McGurk, put your shirt on. Let's get going.
Samuel!
I know what you're going to ask me, Elizabeth, and the answer is no. You can't just swan back into all our lives. Think of all the emotion that it'd stir up, especially for Joshua. Wouldn't be fair on him, wouldn't be fair on us. And it wouldn't be fair on the pine trees. So, the answer's no.
You don't have the moral right to say what's fair.
I won't be lectured on morality by a, well, what's the word for what you two do? There should be a word.
How about licky-licky?
I didn't ask you to think one up. Anyway, that's two words.
Well, I was just trying to help, wasn't I?
Samuel, just one look at the baby, please.
And how do we achieve that? The moment the kids set eyes on you, it just trigger all sorts of emotional chaos. How do we avoid that, huh? Tell me how.
Listen, you arrogant piece of...
No, Agnes, no. I'm afraid he's probably right.
Come on, McGurk.
If there's any way I could...
I said, just... come on, McGurk.
All right. When you've only got one arm, doing up your buttons is very difficult. Perhaps you could help me, Agnes.
No, I'm sorry. That would involve touching you.
All right, look, I'm going. You can catch me up.
Well, ladies, I'd best be taking my leave. Agnes... I'd like to take the privilege of calling on you one day, but I don't know where you live.
No, you don't, do you?
Oh, congratulations, Lizzie. You're a grandmother.
Yes.
Well, been nice meeting you two girls, and just remember I pay good money.
McGurk.
A son. A baby son. God has blessed me. All praise his beneficence.
Would you like to hold him, Ezekiel?
No, dearest, that's woman's work. Oh, isn't he handsome? With his dimpled little cheeks, tiny little fingers, bright red hair.
Yes, he has.
Do you know he's the first red-haired person to be born into my family?
Is that right?
Have you considered a name yet?
Well, we Spriggs are always named after characters in the Bible, apart from Auntie Daffodil. Christening was ruined by that drunken priest.
How about one of the prophets?
I know. How about Abraham?
Well, Abraham was a great prophet, Joshua, but I've always felt that Abraham's an ugly, clumsy-sounding name.
Very, definitely. Very. How about Isaiah?
Oh, yes, Isaiah. Or Nehemiah.
Or Solomon.
Or Judas.
Judas?
Yeah.
The betrayer of Christ.
Oh, people make too much of all that, yeah. He was just a little fella trying to make a few bother.
Of course, we could select a name with regal connections. George, perhaps, after His Majesty.
Absolutely not! My nephew's going to grow up a free man in a free America, free from tyranny's yoke, not the subject of some despotic German pushead!
Mary, I must protest at those seditious remarks and administer a formal warning.
Oh. I love it when you admonish me. Do it again.
Stop it, Mary. May I hold the baby, Cora?
Of course, Father.
Just don't let Sergeant McGurk breathe on him.
All right. I've got you, little fella. There you go.
Father, why are you taking the baby to the window?
I'm just showing him to the world at large, Cora, so they can see how beautiful my grandson is.
What about if we named him after a virtue like capability?
Or endeavor.
Or perseverance.
Or tidiness.
Joshua, just be quiet.
But I like tidiness.
Tidiness is not a name.
Nice gesture, Samuel, showing the baby to the world.
They're up there on the hill, see?
Oh, yeah. That Agnes fancies me so much.
She said you make her want to vomit.
Oh, that's just part of the dance. Mm.
Incidentally, McGurk, it goes without saying that everything you heard was not to be repeated, especially the stuff about my wife being a practitioner of the love that doesn't have a name yet. If that were to get out, well, it would bring shame and disgrace.
Sort of bloke do you take me for, eh? What, do you imagine I'm the kind of bloke who would say, exploit knowing a shameful secret and then use it to his own advantage? Is that what you think of me?
Well, no, but I...
My lips are sealed.
Thank you.
Sealed tight.
Good.
Though my tongue's been known to slip.
On what?
Ooh, on the banana skin of life, I suppose.
Well, tell me then, do you reckon a month's supply of free brandy might stop this involuntary tongue slippage?
Well, it's got to be worth a try, hasn't it? So, yeah.
I got it! The perfect name.
Go on.
It's biblical.
Good.
And regal.
Oh, better still.
It's Herod.